Hey everybody, welcome to Renewing the Center. My name is Chris and it is great to have you with us today on the podcast. Today we're going to jump into a gospel reading from the Daily Lectionary. And if you're new to the podcast, we typically read a passage of scripture from the Anglican Daily Lectionary, and then we spend about 10 to 12 minutes just reflecting on God's heart for renewal in that passage of scripture. And today we're going to be in Mark 6. And this is actually a really frustrating moment in Jesus's ministry life, I'm sure. And you'll see why when we read. So we'll read and then we'll pray. And then we're just going to see what we can see and hear what we can hear. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. And they said, "Where did this man get all of this? What is this wisdom that that's been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deeds of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father, I pray that you would give us courage to hear you and to see Jesus in his hometown. I pray, God, that you would give us courage to not just look at this passage and view it at arm's length or as an interesting moment in the history of Jesus's life and the history of Nazareth, God, but I pray that you would help us to see the ways where we might, if we're not careful, be like those people who distance themselves from Jesus, tried to shrink him down, tried to say, we know you. We put you in a box. God, help us not to do that. In the places where we have done it, we pray, God, today that you would help us to see those places and ask for your forgiveness, your healing, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the passage here is a really compelling one. Jesus goes home, and if you're an adult, I've got adult children, and I can already, you know, just see it through their eyes. When you come home as an adult, a young adult or an older adult, it's tempting to feel a sense of kind of dissonance. You know, it's like part of you really wants to be there and part of you is thinking, I'm a different person than I was when I was in this place. You know, it's like intellectually, I can even look at my own kids and think they're different than they were when they lived here. But when they come home, you know, it's easy to just fall back into old patterns and rhythms and kind of think we know one another when we don't actually really know one another as much as we should or could. That's exactly what's happening to Jesus in this space. People think they know him, but they don't know him really. They don't know who he is and what he's saying and what he's doing now. And so before we get into this passage as it relates to God, I just want to say to those of you who are parents, do your best to stay curious with your kids as they get older and your family members. Do your best to see them for who they are now, not what they were back in the day, because we all change. And sometimes we change for the worse, but sometimes we change for the better. And I think we become more available to one another when we can actually look with fresh eyes. I think if the people of Nazareth had looked at Jesus with fresh eyes, if they had really listened to him, if they'd really opened up, I think they would have seen something different than what they express here. And that's telling because the passage begins with Jesus teaching. Like, so he's giving Jesus teaching stuff. He's doing Jesus things. He is being the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah. He's teaching with authority. We're told that he has authority, and you see echoes of it. They ask these questions, people who think they know him. And you can almost hear and feel the wheels turning in people's minds. They're like, where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that's been given to him? I mean, you can tell. Something's stirring. They're hearing something from Jesus, and something in their heart is responding or wanting to respond. It's wanting to wake up. There's something deep happening, something powerful. It just is like Jesus's words are hitting places in them. They're doing something, but then immediately the door closes. They say, oh, but wait a minute, we know him. Like, we know his parents. We know his siblings. We know where he lives. And the text just puts it right out there. And they took offense. So they go from an increasing or emerging tenderness. They're asking these questions like, man, where did this guy get this insight? And then it's as if the flame that could and would grow into a flame is snuffed out. They question and they say, wait a minute, we've got this guy figured out. And it's just so interesting. I think that's the way God tends to do. He'll work, he'll knock on our hearts, he'll kind of soften and knock on the door. And then the next thing you know, we might find ourselves thinking, oh, wait, I know how this goes. I know where this is headed. I know what's going to happen next. And so I want to ask you this question, because this is a question I've been considering as I was holding this passage. Is it possible for me, for you, to become, quote unquote, familiar with Jesus in a way that doesn't bring life? And when I say familiarity, I'm not speaking to you about intimacy. I think intimacy is actually really beautiful, really powerful. Is it possible for us to be, quote unquote, familiar in a way that kind of leads into that statement of familiarity that breeds contempt? That's exactly what's happening here in Nazareth. People are shrinking Jesus down. There's something large and beautiful blooming, and then they shut it down. They kind of go, we got you figured out. They put him in a box. They think they know. And rather than stand in judgment of these people, you know, to think, well, what was wrong with those people in Nazareth? I want to try to find myself in that space and go, do I do some version of the same thing? I mean, you're not from Nazareth. Jesus doesn't live down the street from you. None of you have dated one of his siblings. But can't we get there in terms of a kind of familiarity that breeds contempt? Can't we get there in our own way? I think this is a huge struggle for us in the modern church. I think that a lot of the time, we as modern Christians, we have our routines, we have our plans, and we do say and confess that Jesus is Messiah, that he's Savior, but we kind of can put him in a box that's like a little Messiah box, like a tame box, a box where he can't provoke us or he doesn't lay claim to us like he would do and he would want to do. And yet there's a glimmer of hope in this passage. If I'm going to be in Jesus's hometown, and if you're in the church, you kind of are. You're in the family, the body, people who pray and sing and come and gather together, and we talk about God, we talk about our lives, and yet we can sometimes forget that he's come to really shake things up. Well, even in Nazareth, there were a few people who got touched. And so I want to read to you how this passage ends. It says, and he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. I tell you what, if I'm going to be in the family, I want to be one of the few sick people that get cured in that Nazareth setting. I want to be a kind of person who is willing to, in the midst of all the familiarity, in the midst of all the trappings, in the midst of all the parts of me that can become sleepy or dull, I want to be one of the people who's willing to say, Jesus, I have need of you. And even if there's some unbelief and some dullness all around me, and even in parts of me, I want you to come and make me well. I want you to come and minister and do your Jesus things to me. There's a part of me that wonders if for all of us in a passage like this, there's an invitation for us to wake up. And that's one of the gifts of the Easter season. If you're listening to this at the time of the recording of it, we are in the middle of, or the early stages of the great 50 days, the Easter season. And I once heard N.T. Wright say that Easter is like a splash of cold water on the face. It's sort of a wake-up call. The startling news of life and power and vitality and the resurrected goodness of the coming kingdom of God is meant to wake us up. And maybe there are places in your life where you are on autopilot, where things are familiar to you. And maybe in that familiarity, there's a little bit of sleepiness, a kind of dullness where we think like, oh, wait, I know how this works. I know where this is headed. I know the rules and I know the what Jesus would do or what he would say. Well, in this moment, I think I want to be like one of the people who say, yeah, but still, Jesus, would you come and touch me and heal me because I need you. And so I just want to invite you to consider as you walk through your day, where do you need Jesus to wake you up? Where are you on a kind of autopilot? And what might you need to do with God, to participate with God in order to disrupt that autopilot, sleepy kind of status quo? And then also, where do we need Jesus to come and touch us and to do for us what only he can do? There's some parts of my own life right now where I'm just asking for Jesus to show up. I'm asking for him to break through, to penetrate all the familiarity, all the places where I go to sleep and I get on this autopilot, and I'm asking him to come and wake me up. If I'm going to be in that quote unquote familiar place of Nazareth, I want to be one of the people who are healed in that place. I want to be one of the people who are willing to wake up and be a part of whatever Jesus is offering. He's got something he wants to give each and every one of us. May we receive it today with courage. God bless you. Go in peace.